is Sunday. This is Resurrection Day 4/4/21. And we've been in a series called Learning the Flow in the Supernatural. We're going to continue on with that. But I'm going to bring something to you that I think probably you've never heard. I never even looked at it this way. But when I got to thinking about it, I thought, man, this is dynamic, Lord. It's called Use Love as a Weapon. You know,
say that again.
Use love as a weapon. Christians are kind of squirrely about that kind of thing. Well, we're supposed to love people, you know, and secretly you can't stand them. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking there's got to be more to this than this, because you can't love someone in your own self. You just can't. It has to be the love of God in you. But the Lord showed me something different. I'd never seen this side of love before. There's a reason why he says certain things in his word, and we're going to see that. This is what I'll just give you. This is a revelation I had this week. I had a revelation this week on love. I heard a man that was a former Navy SEAL. He was a former CIA operative. We're talking an assassin. And he said these words. He said, he named off all these big top terrorists and all this stuff. He said, I just send them the love. And I thought, that's weird. He said, they're all dead. Love delivered his enemies into his hands. Love delivered his enemy into his hands. Think about that. That's a pretty profound statement, isn't it? And see, I'd heard that said a few times, but then last week it's just like a bomb went off in me. You haven't been using love. You've gotten it thinking, well, you've got to muster up all you can to love that person that you just can't stand. That's not what he's talking about. It's part of our arsenal. It's part of walking in the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. All right, we're going to get into this. This hit me right between the eyes. I thought, Lord, I think I've tapped into something that I hadn't realized that I had. Just viewing it the right way. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God is actually asking us to use His love as a weapon, doesn't He? How can you be an assassin and walk in perfect love? God does. He is love, but He's also the righteous judge, and He will kill. He will allow to be killed those that need to be brought to justice. But He still operates in perfect love, right? And I'm not saying go out and kill somebody. When this is over, you'll know that's not what I'm saying here. All right, we'll keep going. 1 Corinthians 13. This excited me. It changed my whole confession list. Because there's a fine line between, you know, how we feel about things. We want the Lord to round them all up and hang them all. We want to see it. Right? That's kind of the attitude we have. Everybody wants to see justice. They want to see that and everything. And so a lot of my confessions, some of them say that. They're going to, you know, execute it, all this kind of stuff. But I thought, I'm changing that. And you will see that as we keep going. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In other words, we can do all these things, but without love involved in the mix, it's ineffective, inoperative. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity, there is love. So that tells me love is so powerful that whatever love is used for will never fail, right? It will never fail. Okay, get this out of the way. This is the resurrection day, and perfect love went to the cross. His love and Father's love set us all free, even the enemies of God. Did he die for just the good ones? No, he died for those who don't even acknowledge him, will never acknowledge him, but his love sent Jesus to the cross. And Jesus' love, he obeyed. When it was the hardest thing in the world for him to do. Love went to the cross. All right, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. There's right there, that's something we should hone in on. He didn't send Jesus to condemn. Why would we? But the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No one needs our condemnation. If they don't know Jesus, they're already condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hath the light, or hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So, regardless if a person ever takes advantage of it, Jesus died for them. Love made a way for them. Love. Okay. What do we see here? God's goodness leading us to repentance. Those who receive have all of God's best. Those who do not, however, receive condemnation. They're already judged. They don't even really need to be judged, because if they escape judgment in this world, they won't the next. That's just a fact. All right, the word condemnation in the Strong's right here is for or against a tribunal or justice. Romans 8:1. For the Christian, probably most of you know this one by heart, there is now no condemnation. There'll be no tribunal or justice against you. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So the only time we're ever going to be condemned is when the enemy, God doesn't condemn. The enemy condemns. He's the accuser of the brethren. Okay. All right. There's none of that for those that receive his love. So you could say this. Whenever you need to just live your life and be free and do what, you know, don't go outside the word. Let me qualify that. But just go enjoy your life. And whatever people may say, whether it be condemning or not condemning, or you agree with it or you don't agree with it, just say, okay, Lord, if there's something they said that I need to hear, then you let me know and I'll change it. But don't walk in somebody else's condemnation. Don't let them bring you under that, because you walk from in here. That's what learning the flow in the Holy Spirit is about. It's about when he speaks to us, it's right here, and he will let us know if he's displeased or whatever. He will let us know what he wants us to do. We don't have to go looking for anybody else to tell us what we ought to do. Right here, the Holy Ghost bears witness in our spirit that we're the sons of God, and that's how we're led. That's how he leads us. All right. Jesus made a very profound statement. Most in his day are much like us today. We just want to see the bad guys caught and hanged. The people of Jesus' day missed the message because they wanted him to sit on the throne and kill all the Romans. Same thing, right? Same thing. This is what he said. Ready? This is powerful. Okay, Matthew 5. I mean, this is powerful. After this revelation went off in me, I began to see some scriptures differently. Like, why would he want us to do this? Why would he want us to? 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The justice and the judgment is not our part. It's not our part. Now God has those he has raised up that doesn't bear the sword for nothing. But as far as believers, that's not our part. We're to bless our enemies. Love your enemies. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? So there's a reward for doing that. Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, and as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, it's a really good thing that the Alliance chose to do this battle the way they did, to wake people up so there wouldn't be bloodshed. We wouldn't have vigilantes taking the law into their own hands and going and just blowing people up. You know what I'm saying? I believe God was in that. It's painful. Nobody likes to see it. We feel like we're being hung over the precipice right now with all the fake news that's coming out. But love is going to overpower this. How's the world going to know we're his disciples? Anybody tell me?
Love.
Right. Not by acting just like them. For us to want to gather them up and hunt them down and kill them, what makes us different from them? That's that same attitude. And that's why they chose not to go the route, because there would be blood in the streets. There'd be people in every institution across this land. There'd be blood everywhere. But by getting awake and doing it the way they're doing it, it's going to prevent that, because they will see. Of course, they're going to see the shock of what they've been doing to the little ones. But then it's going to get their eyes open, and they see Nasara and the blessings. They'll go, hey, you know. And then they can say, this has been a movie. It's all been dealt with. It's been a movie for you to wake up, and they've already been dealt with. So you don't have to be angry. It's a perfect plan. It's God's plan. Because a lot of these people, they are MK Ultra victims. They've been completely brainwashed. They're not even in their right minds. A lot of them are demon possessed. I'm not saying making any excuses for them. Not at all, because I know the madman of Gadara, he ran and fell at Jesus' feet. He still had a will. I'm not saying that they shouldn't die, but we're not the judge of that. Okay, let me keep going here. I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing here. Revelation 12:21 in the Amplified. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. I said Romans, didn't I?
You said Revelation.
Oh, I'm sorry, Romans 12. It started with an R. Overcome. Master, I like the way Amplified puts it, master. It's just not enough just to be an overcomer, but to master it. That means you win it all. You always win, always. Like President Trump playing his 5D chess. He's a master chess player, so is his son Barron. Master. Here's what overcome means in the Greek. To subdue, conquer, prevail, get victory. Here's what Webster's Dictionary says what master is. Acquire complete knowledge or skill concerning the situation. Our greatest weapon is our tongue. Death and life. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are not in the power of food. I don't care how many 150 commercials you hear a day of the advertisers, of the truthers you listen to. They're all pushing health products. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or for life. If the church ever gets a hold of this, you talk about powerful. They finally get away from this silliness. They just swing from one ditch to the other. I said, Lord, we're going to get them in the middle and we're going to lead them out of Babylon. All right. All right, Father's greatest weapon is his tongue too. We're going to look at that. Genesis. Genesis 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then it said, God saw the light, and it was good. So what God spoke changed the catastrophe of what Satan had done to the prior earth, the pre-flood flood. He spoke it all back into order. And as sons and daughters of God, that is what he has given us to do, to speak it all back in order, to maintain it. Right here, 26 through 28. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So he wanted man to keep the garden. He wanted him to fill the earth, not just have the garden. But he gave him authority, just like his authority, to keep things in order. Have we done a very good job? No. But we will do better. Okay. We're living in a negative world surrounded by fake news, etc. We get conditioned to curse what we don't like. Well, I'm telling you today, we need to bless. We need to start loosening the love. He said, I just sent them the love. And I thought, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. Until later, and all of a sudden, this, like I said, like a bomb went off in me. You didn't get what he said, did you? Love is the highest frequency. When you walk in love, you rise above. Hate is the lowest frequency there is. Hate. I've never seen such hate in my life. It's scary. It's so awful. But love will transcend you up above that. You'll be walking on, like we talked about, that glimpse of what the Lord gave me about timelines. There's going to be people that are not going to walk on the same timeline. Because when you ascend in love, you're going to walk in a different spirit. You're going to get the fruit of your tongue. If they choose not to, they will get the fruit of their tongue, just like the children of Israel. Some of them just did their circles around the mountain, just died out because they wouldn't go forward. But Joshua and Caleb and the children that they said wouldn't make it in made it in, and they took their promised land. They had a different timeline. We have to stay off Satan's frequency. That's that negative thinking. Negative thinking results in negative speaking. And just having that, how do you deal with these people? How do you pray right? How do you speak right without seeming that you're being ugly? Bless. Okay. This was sure revelation to me. Now you can understand why God told us to pray for our enemies. Not just the good ones, but all of them. Good and evil. Isn't that what God did when he sent love to earth, Jesus? This is 1 Timothy 2. This is in one of our petitions. He said we were supposed to pray for them first over anything else. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for real, for Pelosi, for Schumer, for Schiff, Hillary, Obama. I could name a whole bunch more, but I'll stop there. Be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Is that a blessing? Quiet, a peaceable life? Isn't that a blessing? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, love will break down walls and barriers. I remember when Kavanaugh was being raked over the coals and treated so shamefully. I remember his little wife. The reporters were out in front of their house harassing him, and she went to some fancy bakery and bought all these fancy cupcakes and took them out to these reporters that were harassing them. And one reporter said, "Now that's a class act." Shouldn't they say that about the kingdom of God? People that are Christians, now that's a class act. They don't just talk it like I've heard all my life, crammed down my throat all my life. They really walk it. You can tell they're genuine in what they do. Do you think they might want some of that? Yeah, I think so. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, I wonder about Saul. You know, he was killing the people of God. Until one day, he got knocked on his rear in the street off his donkey. And the Lord said, this is your decision day. Either you're going to serve me or you're out of here because of what you're doing to the church. Do you think the believers were probably praying for him? Maybe they were sending the love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all these horrible creatures were transformed? You know, nobody wants to see somebody die. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that they won't pay for their penalty. But their goal in this war that we're in is not for everybody to be killed. They're hoping to be able to rescue and save a lot of them, because a lot of them are MKUltra. We all have been MKUltra to a point through television and different influences. Okay, when you send love, you send God. Think about that. When you send love, you send God, because God is love. All right, 1 John 4. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. Oh, I hope so. Now, every time somebody says some snarky something, I say, Lord, I send them the love. I just bless them. You said bless your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Well, if they're saying something anti-God, they're cursing you as a child of God. They're talking about your daddy. Don't talk about my daddy like that. You're doing them a favor, and yourself too. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What's so sad? It's like the scripture that says, like, you know, we're biting and devouring each other. I see patriots doing that to each other. And some of them I'm not going to listen to anymore, because all they do is get up there and just rag on those that come against them. Well, you know what? If you're over the target, you just might as well realize you're going to have some persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but we're not supposed to get on air and trash them. We're to bless them. Well, Lord, bless them today. They just don't know. Their eyes are not open to the truth. But I just bless them today. so their eyes could come to know you. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now get a hold of that profound statement. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I know the Lord a few years ago showed me this revelation. The love that it talks about is not your love. So let yourself off the hook. People just try, oh, just try so hard, so hard. No, this is a fruit of the Spirit. This is God's love in us that comes out of us to love someone. You can't do it in yourself. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So if God loved and sent his Son when they were still sinning, then we are to send love when they're still sinning. They certainly don't need any more curse in their life, do they? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Yeah, like I told you, this is profound. All right, if we act like our enemies, curse and not bless, aren't we on the same hate frequency as them? See, our motives are wrong. God is the righteous judge, and he will bring justice, so we need to leave it up to them and not, or leave it up to him and not curse, but send the love. If you want to walk above it all, conquer all, then love is the answer. When Satan brings up the wrongs of others to you, this is the time to counter it with blessing them. When Jesus was dying on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Your attitude certainly determines your altitude. It pains me when I see patriots acting just like the left. No, we cannot adopt their methods. Acts 10:28, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know what's about Jesus? He didn't ask him, well, are you paying your tithe? Are you going to church on Sunday? Or Saturday, excuse me, Saturday. Are you doing all these things? You know, maybe if you do get all this right, then maybe I'll pray for you and maybe you'll get healed. No. It didn't matter who they were that came to him. He didn't condemn, did he? He showed the love. A lot of them followed him because of that. To me, healing and miracles is just the calling card of the gospel. If we had more of it in manifestation, when the church gets in order with the apostles that have the power gifts working in their life in the lead where that's supposed to be, then we'll probably begin to see the power return, and people will see those things. These people that are rank and file sinners, and God heals them, and they think, oh my God, this is the God I've been looking for all my life. What?
Okay.
All right. This scripture is in Matthew 9. It's written in Mark and Luke, so it has some significance here. Three witnesses. Matthew 9, verse 1. Bet you never heard an Easter sermon like this, have you? This may be the best thing that you ever heard. Could be the most powerful thing you've ever heard. Matthew 8:9-1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's massive. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what they had to go through to get their sins wiped away? Had to go sacrifice an animal once a year to take their sins away. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy own house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto man. Or men. You're going to read that in Mark 2 and in Luke 5, same account. Why were they so amazed? Most are on Satan's frequency and not God's. The Pharisees certainly weren't on God's frequency. All they did was complain. They complained because he healed on the Sabbath. They never healed anybody on any day, much less on the Sabbath. They didn't care about the man. They didn't care that he got well. They just cared he broke the law. Yeah. All right. How are we going to raise our frequency? Philippians 4. And not just for our own personal thinking, but thinking of others this way. When you look at a person, Jesus saw someone in need. He saw someone that needed his help. He didn't look at him and judge him saying, well, look what you've done. This is 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me doing, the God of peace shall be with you. You know, if these programmers, instead of attacking those that are attacking them, if they'd get on there and say, you know what? I just bless y'all today. Y'all must be having a bad day. I just bless y'all. They'd probably quit trolling them. Yeah, probably. Remember that God is love, so when you see God in the scripture, you can say love. This little book, I forget when, Brother Copeland went through a series for several months on love. And he takes these scriptures on love, and where God is, he puts love instead to confess these scriptures. So we'll just read a few of them because I have some other scriptures to read here. I mean, he's gone all through. We'll just do New Testament here. For love so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who is love, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, when you look at it that way, that you are love, you are born of love. What he's wanting you to do in these scriptures is renew your mind to the love concept. Right here, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but full-grown love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. So he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. We know that whosoever is born of love sinneth not, but he that is begotten of love keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Pretty powerful. Okay. God's love in us is a weapon. We send the love and God will bring justice. That way it is not us pronouncing judgment on anyone. That is not our place. Because I honestly have to say that there's been times I've been kind of confused on how to say certain things. But when I realized it's not my place to pronounce the judgment, here's a few scriptures. Psalm 75, 7. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Psalms 56. And the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. We are not the judge. And when we curse someone, are we judging? Yes, we are. Isaiah 33, 2. For the Lord is our judge. Acts 12, 22 and 23. The people kept crying out, the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. So you see, love is a judgment. It is a weapon. But we don't use it. God uses it because he is love. All right, 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So there's nothing getting past of God's judgment, his eye. Men may skip over it and not do it thoroughly, but God will. So we can thoroughly trust him to do it and not try to take it to our own hands. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. We need to get out of a habit of when somebody does something we don't like, we begin to blast them, curse them, or say something snarky about them. Even if they're cutting us off at traffic, you know what I'm saying? Bless them, Lord! Hebrews 12:23. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, who enrolled in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. James 4:12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? We have not that right. Matthew 7, is it 7, talks about judge not lest you be judged. That place is in God's hands alone. What are we supposed to do? Bless your enemies. Jesus said that there was no greater thing than this. This is John 15, if y'all want to turn to that one. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, the left, the hate crowd, they have sought to divide us. But we should care for our fellow human being just for the sake of them being a fellow human being. He said, there's no greater love than you lay down your life for a friend. That's what he did. He laid down his life for his friends. And you're my friends if you keep my commandments. A person will believe that love will deliver our enemies over to the righteous judge. If we act like them and act in violence and hate speech, what ground have we gained? None. It just continues. It is a discipline, but it is one that we need to develop and go to automatically in every situation. This is flowing in the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to Galatians 5 and we'll be done. Then I have a little bit of intel. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now we already know, if you walk in the flesh, it's death. The Spirit life. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. Now you know why the fight is so intense. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, there was a reason why we were told not to sue a brother. Because what's suing? You're condemning that brother. You owe me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So I challenge you. Put love to work for you. Love is a weapon. And if it brings them to the Lord, awesome. If it doesn't, then God's the righteous judge. But you're going to walk on a higher plane, a higher frequency, and probably see a lot more answers to prayer just by your changing of your thoughts that will cause you to walk in a higher place.